All right, folks, call the meeting to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Go ahead and call the roll. Here. Present.
Derek Nimitz.
Present.
Dave Castellanos.
Present.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Bochy.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker. Absent.
Okay, we'll move on to the chairman's report. Chairman's out this month. Hopefully he's having a good time. But I'm going to be real brief. Those pictures we carry with us wherever we go. That's the reason we're here today. That's the reason we do what we do. That's the reason we're going to try to make everything within the system operate to its optimum level. So that never happened again. With that, I want to keep moving forward. Finance report. Approval in the minutes.
Mr. Vice Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from April 19th, 2023.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Roll call, Ms. Yes.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Bochy.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
The finance report.
Mr. Chair or Vice Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the expenses for May of 2023 in the amount of $813,937.09.
We have a motion. We have a second. We have a second. Any questions on the motion?
I do, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Gazdecki.
Dan, would you, the backup for the Passion invoice, is that part of the packet? Did I overlook it? Or
it should be there. It's for the generator as a part of the Griffith rate project.
That's not gas bonus stuff.
No.
I just didn't know if it was.
Yeah, it's there. It's I think it's just shy of 200,000.
Correct.
Yeah, Griffith's part of the whole plan was like 175. Passion took ownership of the or took control of the generator, and we were going to pay that. But Griffith said they would pay the rest when it comes to Passion. But that's the last large component. Everything else will be small contracts coming in through Passion.
I just don't see. I'm overlooking the backup.
Build enough treatment.
I mean, I understand it's a viable project, and we're not making anything up.
No, no. I want to find it. No, I signed it. I know I sent an email to Griffith.
It's also with the plan to be made, so you can actually get it.
You can have it in your little envelope.
Okay.
Maybe go over some of it if you want, Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yeah, please do.
Just because it's 813,000, just to give you an idea, Dyer Construction for $146,433.77. That was for the joint seal and repair. This is a continuation of last year's project. We're hoping that they will finish that for stage 7, which is between North Pat and Columbia Avenue and Hammond. That was the part of the Army Corps inspection that we needed to finish. And since we're on inspections starting June 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, we're hoping with the good weather that we can do this. Our mowing contract with CNH for $27,500. The first mow and trim was conducted last week. Hopefully that will hold until our inspections in beginning of June. U.S. Geological Survey for $25,110 for our quarterly payment for the matching dollars for the stream gauges that we provide. The Hobart Sanitary District, $220,750 for the engineering for the Stinky Creek Lateral 6 diversion. You will see a presentation on that later on. And then the aforementioned $188,182.25 for the Raker project, that is for the generator that was a part of the project. So beyond that, there were some other claims. Certainly, we have some blockages. We're going to keep on taking on some blockages along the river. We have some engineering work that we have done as well with Wessler regarding a marsh ditch, as well as some bank stabilization work, as pointed out in the Gary Griffith inspection through HWC.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about the Delta 3. Mm-hmm. The amount says $6,757.50. On your invoice record from them, I noticed that we shared in 1/3 of the payment for that project. Did we get a reduction on our end? That's
so looking down 138. This board committed to it through the bank stabilization work that was party from Town of Dyer and Lake County. They had some change orders. We did not participate in those change orders. We capped out at what you guys approved at whatever that dollar amount was. But that's why we're capped at that amount. No matter what their invoice says,
okay,
the county took everything else as far as the change order, because they approved the change order without our acknowledgement.
Okay. And then the second thing was, speaking of the change order, the last item on here for NDOT was that, is that $3,300 from a change order, or is that?
No. So the way CORE works is, we had to purchase that easement for Grant West. Mm-hmm. NDOT donated it to us. However, the Corps doesn't recognize donations, so we have to pay them for the easement.
Okay.
So that's what we paid them, $3,300.
Right.
So it wasn't a change order.
It was a matter of record, though. It says $1 transfer, but we still had to pay them.
We still pay according to the Corps. That was the appraised value of the easement.
Okay. All right.
Other government.
That's all I had in there.
I found it in the signed.
So you have it. You have it in the signed.
There's the AIA form for the application for cash and matches the signed.
Okay. Anybody else with questions? With that said, roll call vote.
Tom Schlenke.
Yes.
Tom Schlenke.
Yes.
Dave
Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave
Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ogi?
Yes.
LaVon
Whitaker?
Yes.
Okay. Moving along, Executive Director's report.
Dan? I'll be brief on what I didn't speak about earlier. We finished the inspections for Gary Griffith and NDOT. All went well. That one black gate that got recycled in the NDOT section of I-65. We need to replace that in the next 30 days so we can get a passing grade. But otherwise, everything went well. Minor rutting, some minor issues that we have attended to make this thing acceptable. The next set of inspections begin June 5th, beginning with Munster, Tam, and Highland. They will conclude that week, weather permitting. And that will conclude all of our inspections for the year. And Katie Marsh Ditch, explained that little memo from Wessler that will be on our website for public consumption. That's regarding the effectiveness of the diversion tunnel that was put in at Arbogast. We have completed, or it's almost complete, the Hart Ridge Stabilization Project for this year. That goes all the way up to 45th Street. The stabilization work in partnership with the county will continue from 45th to Franklin Parkway. The pedestrian bridge for Hammond that we participated in shall be open, or should be open, by Memorial Day. I'm not aware of any ribbon cutting or celebration or drive or whatever. So when I hear that, if that, there's something that will be given to everyone. Then, as you know, we have applications for funding. Thank the town of Maryville and Matt Lake here for his accommodations. We also have Colbert with the Stinky Creek proposal as well. Talked about blockages. We are continuing to scan a lot of our material now that we've closed out much of the work that we need for as far as acquisitions. So we have some help doing that for us. And then we are overhauling the pump stations as far as the pumps are concerned. And now it appears as though we may need to deal with some of the electronics and the systems themselves to help better control the floats, causing some issues on some of the pumps. So that's a brief monthly report, so we can get to these presentations.
Mowing?
Yeah, we're mowing. We got our first mowing done last week, and hopefully it's enough before the June 5th inspections. The grass can't be more than a foot high, otherwise it's a violation. So we're keeping an eye on it. We're hoping this stays dry for a little while longer.
What about the weed control?
That was sprayed. Weed control, which is in accordance with EPA standard water resilient, where we've already sprayed all the riprap throughout the system. We do that spring and the fall. That's done through deep patch.
Anybody else? All right. Moving right along. We've got some presentations tonight. We're going to start out with the town of Maryville. Thank you for hosting us today. Appreciate that. You guys are on the deck.
Well, first I want to welcome you all to the Maryville Stormwater Resource Center. We welcome you at any time, you know, that you have to reserve or anything. So we'll open our doors to you anytime you see the need to come here. And I'm Matt Lake. I'm the executive director here. With me today is Luke Sherry from Christopher Burke Engineering. He's going to be presenting on our Hickory Ridge flood control improvements. And I want to thank the board for further support for the engineering aspect and supporting that. The challenging projects to go through from that perspective. And we'll go through all the aspects and how we're basically shovel ready at this point, seeing as I've secured all of our easements and permits and that. Would you guys prefer the lights on or off, or what's your preference to view the screen?
Yeah, leave some of them on and turn some of them off, or what's the...
This one? Oh, is that okay? Okay. All of them.
I guess we're going to turn them off.
It's all or nothing.
So with things up.
With that, I'll let Luke take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm Luke Sherry with Christopher Burke Engineering. We've been assisting Matt and Town of Maryville with this project for several years now. And we're here tonight because we're requesting funding for the construction of that project. We put together this presentation kind of give you a little bit of project background and sort of step you through how we got to where we are today. This is a regional drainage problem. This heat map of the elevations of the Meadowdale lateral watershed kind of show the elevation changes where the dark red is the lowest elevations and the blue are the highest. Our property is located just along the west side of Meadowdale Lateral, which flows from generally from north to south before it hits Turkey Creek and then makes its way eastward. The drainage area at our project site is roughly 7 square miles. Most of that, a little bit over 4 square miles, is actually outside of the town of Maryville limits. the one of the issues with this project is the drainage from the apartment complex cannot get into Meadow Lateral because of just when the creek is high, we have this tailwater condition where literally flow wants to go the opposite way that you want it to go. Sort of to complicate matters, and this is what's tough to see up here, outlined in red is the upstream drainage area that wants to come through the apartment complex and make its way to Meadowdale Lateral. And it's roughly 200 acres. It's slightly more than that. And the problem is it's getting stuck in the apartment complex. So you literally have this unique situation where you have the apartment complex actually getting bombarded from both sides. You have backup from Meadowdale Lateral on the east, and then you have the upstream drainage, which is feeding even more water into the system that's already overwhelmed. During the September 2008 event, the level of the pond in front of the complex was so high that all of the first floor level apartments took on water and all had significant structural damage. We documented some storm events following that. This one was from February 2018. You can see how high the water in the pond is. It had some significant parking lot flooding associated with that storm event. And as luck would have it, we had a drone pilot on our staff who went out there and shot some drone footage. We have some very good videos of the flooding. They were sort of too large to work with this presentation, but here are some still shots that kind of show you a bird's eye view of just how high the water gets up during, you know, some of these more significant storms. So again, this is the pond surrounding the apartments. And then we have this other shot of the intersection of 56th Avenue and Grant Street. So as you can see, there's a significant amount of roadways, roadway inundation, and I think there's a total of four roadways that get basically become impassable during these events. So sort of recap of the work that's been done since then. The town developed a stormwater master plan in 2014, and the Hickory Ridge apartments was identified as basically the highest priority area in that study. We've assisted the town with developing an H&H analysis of the problem, you know, to develop, you know, what kind of drainage improvements will alleviate the situation. We've done the topographic survey, the wetland delineation, put together a plan set, which you can sort of see as the snippet to the right, obtained easements and coordinated with, you know, the appropriate agencies, which in this case were the Lake County Surveyor's Office, the Army Corps, and also IBNR. So the proposed drainage improvements that were identified and designed consist of a few different things. There is 8.4 acre feet of flood storage that will be created in dry bottom basins just east of the apartments. In addition to that, there'll be some storm sewer improvements that include backflow preventers and also a pump station so that the water from the apartment complex and the upstream areas can actually get to Meadowdale Lateral if the creek were at a higher stage. And then finally, what's shown in red around the building around the east side there and sort of wraps around the north, that's a flood control berm to provide some additional flood protection of the building. So in terms of benefits provided, obviously, we're creating storage in the watershed. So we have over 80 feet of flood storage, which is certainly a benefit for the watershed. We have some roadway flood reduction. And again, there's four different streets that are affected in this location. And obviously the residential flood reduction is another big win for this project. You know, you have the structural damage for the first floor apartments. You have significant parking lot damages. You have transportation damages from the surrounding roadways. So many residents would be benefited from this project. One thing we wanted to point out is that this is consistent with the Little Calumet River Comprehensive Watershed Plan that was first developed in 2013 and then updated in 2021. That red block that we've highlighted on the exhibit to the right is actually the sentence, a snippet from the plan that says how the Hickory Ridge Apartments flood control project is a project that is a priority and that needs to be completed. So with that, the request is a 50-50 split. We've developed a engineer's construction estimate for this project of $1,864,335. And that 50-50 split would translate to $932,168, obviously for each of for the town and then also for the commission. So with that, that's all I have. Certainly, if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
The $932,168, that at this point, that's strictly the engineers putting the numbers together, right? And nothing's been bid.
Correct. Yeah, we don't have hard numbers from bid. It's, you know, how things go now with the
right cost. And the drawings are what, 100%?
Yes. Yes.
So you guys are ready, theoretically, to go out.
Yeah, permits are done. All easements are reported. Plans are done. Yeah, we're ready to go in that respect. Another thing I want to mention is we've been mapping out the financially disadvantaged areas within town. And we just looked at the recent census data. And the median household income there, about $43,000. So we're trying to do more projects in areas where there are hardships. So about people and what happens. So
question, Mr. Chair. Go ahead, Ron.
Of the your half of the other half of the funding, is Town of Maryville the only funding source, or is there any other sources of funding?
We did put in for 219 grants, but we're just trying to help our budget out with that. But it's not 100% necessary for us to do that. We have construction funds set aside specifically for projects in this particular
one. One more question. The residences in there, outside of the apartments, if you had to guess how many residences were impacted by these high water and different events, 2018 and maybe others that you guys have identified.
You've got about, like in the general vicinity, I would say directly impacted is about three more city town blocks. Because the intersection and police and fire, they have to route around that intersection. Saw that was flooded out. That's 56 and Grant. Just to the east of there is Turkey Creek Lateral 6. And then that backs up everything else, backs up accordingly. So that's kind of a challenge. Meet the needs of that area, especially when you're trying to get emergency services. I've been in there, my waste and water, trying to find a storm drain, making sure things aren't clogged, because when the ditch goes down, everything else goes down with it. So the mercy of all that stuff, to restore that water back, along with the burning of the panels, all the other flood protection measures, and the pump station, which is currently there now, but it's non-functional. It's just been kind of antiquated. That's all part of the plans.
So what's the earthen berm for?
The, let me flip that into the... So the...
That's in the red.
Correct? Yeah, the red is the earthen berm, sort of around the east side of the apartment complex, and kind of wraps around to the north there. Kind of tough to see on this exhibit. It was easier to see when it was dark in here. The dry bottom detention basins are just on the east side of that that flood control berm. So that flood control berm will allow more storage to be located on the east side of those apartment complexes without affecting, you know, those first floor residents.
And so that's most of my question. It doesn't impact the neighborhood at all. And the blue arrows represent a swale to be cut in or the natural drainage flow now?
That's the flow path of the water coming from the west side of Cleveland Street, draining eastward.
And that's in a natural ditch?
Right now it's kind of a swale. There's an ag field on the other side.
Right.
So it's a couple hundred acres of drainage rolling through there. It's kind of funneled through, and it's just like pinch point of all that drainage.
And the lift station pumps the water to where?
lateral six, Turkey Creek lateral six, which is to the.
And what's the difference in height as far as outlet versus outlet into the creek versus the discharge from the 2 foot, 4 foot? You're pumping out. What's the drop between the detention that exists now and the lateral six? Like,
probably got about 2.5 feet somewhere.
Thank you.
How much of the request is for wiring properties?
We don't need to. We actually coordinated with the Hickman Ridge Lake Association. They signed an easement. We signed it. We got it recorded. So there was no land acquisition. We have a permanent easement for all of this.
Okay, and just clarification, going back to what Ron asked. So the 50%, if you don't get the 219, mm-hmm. the 50% you guys still have, you mean?
Yeah. We're trying to say we've got all the projects in the works, as you can imagine. So we're trying to do as much as we can. So, yeah, it doesn't hinge on that. It just would help us, you know.
And then what's you guys' party deadline to start projecting?
Well, depends on the 219. So if we put it out for bid this fall, we get started this fall.
And then what's the duration estimate?
It depends on the contractor. We would want to get it done in late spring. Like fully, because then you got your seeding and all that. You want to make sure that you got it.
Anybody else? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up is City of Hobart, Stinky Creek Diversion Stormwater Project.
Well, thank you for having us here this evening again to talk about this project, and thank you for approving the claim for the design that we submitted. I'm Phil Graylick. I'm the city engineer for the city of Covert. I have Bob Fulton, the president of our stormwater management board, is here. And we have Chip Thompson and Jacob Manzo from Avon Marsh Engineering here tonight as well. Just a brief refresher of how we've gotten here. The Stinky Creek Pressmore neighborhood in the city of Covert has frequent flooding. It affects a total of 850 homes. Approximately 10% of them, 80 homes, get water inside the homes themselves. I think we have 34 street locations that flood during major rain events. A couple residents literally have used boats in the past to access their homes after major rain events. And we've talked about this before, that Covert had we did our stormwater master plan update. We planned to do just a local project and essentially enclose Stinky Creek in a pipe and make the pipe big enough to carry the stormwater flows through here. We budgeted for that, planned it, issued an RFP, and the Avon Marsh Christopher Burke team came back with a proposal we hadn't thought of. And that was a regional stormwater project that, rather than just enclosing the creek and sending the water through the neighborhood into Deep River like it does right now, we would divert the water through a much larger pipe, not just through Covert, but through Lake Station and New Chicago, all the way to a different connection point to Deep River, which would cut out between 4.5 and 5 miles of travel that the water has to take. And it would positively affect not only the Deep River watershed and system, but the Little Calumet River system as well. Because this water, up until as right now, when these rain events hit, this water becomes part of the storm surge of Deep River, which is what backs water up the Little Calumet River at times and can reverse its flow direction when Deep River reaches that flood stage. This pipe is proposed to be a 72-inch diameter pipe. It'll divert a total of just over 33 million gallons of water, almost 5 million cubic feet of water during during a 100-year storm that will get into Deep River and be out in Lake Michigan and no longer part of the Deep River storm surge when it merges with the Little Calumet River. So that will lower the flood elevation inside the Little Calumet River as well on these major events when geospatially both watersheds are getting hit at the same time. We had, as I said, budgeted for that local storm sewer project, and that's what we're proposing here to use to build this regional project. And the reason we're here tonight, the map here shows that, you know, the green line is Stinky Creek as it flows right now, and it merges with Deep River right next to Ridge Road, 37th Avenue, the old Highway 6. And then it flows from there through the city of Lake Station to the northeast and then back across the screen through New Chicago before it reaches the confluence to the northwest of what this map shows. The scope of the project, as I said, is to build a 72-inch storm pipe, essentially following the red line with existing easements and right-of-way. We've met with Lake Station, New Chicago, and Lake County and talked this through. They are on board with it, but financially unable to participate right now at this time. They don't have the resources to do that. Thus, we're here tonight as the applicant, offering to pay the matching funds, if you will, to get this important project built. The route here, essentially at the southern tip of the red line, is the worst flooding spot in the Stinky Creek watershed. We're proposing to build a control structure there that will throttle down the normal flows of Stinky Creek. So essentially a 12-inch pipe will allow water to to always flow through Stinky Creek. So we're not going to eliminate the creek completely. But when the flow can't get through that pipe, the overflow will fall into a structure attached to the 72-inch pipe, and that overflow will be diverted out of the watershed. Our schedule right now, we are in the design, as you know. We were here last year, I believe, and the commission awarded us $450,000 to proceed with the design of the project. We have been aggressively doing that and coordinating with other stakeholders in the watershed, and we'll get into some more of those here in a moment. We have started the permitting conversations, at least, and the process with the railroad, because we saw the railroad really as a critical path element in the schedule. That's a future slide. The project is basically 2.5 years to build. It'll be done in three phases if we can meet this schedule, with the first phase starting, of course, at Deep River and building behind the River Forest schools and into New Chicago. The second phase will get it from New Chicago to the railroad and just right to the edge, basically into Hobart. And then the third phase will get us all the way down to Earth. So the second phase gets us to 37th Avenue. The third phase is under the railroad in Wilson Street and gets us all the way to our Geyer Street area, which is our bad, flooding problem. So if we stay on schedule, the Hobart flooding problem, we won't reach that spot until 2025 at this point.
We're trying to schedule around impacting River Forest High School it's the area right adjacent to the school being performed during the summer. There is as disruptive as little.
Yeah, to reduce the disruption to them as much as possible. And let's go to the next thing. This is a map to kind of show how the Stinky Creek is the gray watershed in the middle. The red line is where we're proposing to build the pipe. Turkey Creek Lateral 6 starts to its west in that pink area. So we're proposing, as I said, to divert the water out of the overflow out of the Stinky Creek watershed north and get it into Deep River faster to get it out into Lake Michigan before the storm surge of Deep River actually hits. As part of the project coordination, we've had the wetlands delineated that are out there, and we're modifying some of the design elements right now to reduce our impacts on them. We have, as I said, we've coordinated with the cities and towns, but we've also met with the DNR and the Corps of Engineers, and overall, the folks we've met with so far have been positive, and we're beginning further discussions and getting the permit process underway with them. The railroad, as I said, we've already reached out to them. We got their standards. We modified our design to meet their standards, and we're not expecting them to have any technical difficulties with what we're proposing at this point. But they're a railroad, so start early, and we'll do everything we can to stay on them and get that done. But we don't anticipate a problem here right now based on our conversations with them. As I said, we met with River Forest High School. Originally, that teal line on the west side of the schools, it is an open ditch right now. We were planning to leave it that way. Schools did not like that because we were going to be adding so much water to it. Just our pipe alone is between 100 and 150 CFS that'll be coming out of it. So they've asked us to enclose that. So we've added that section as a pipe with some sort of energy dissipation further to the north there before it actually gets into the river to make sure the energy is dissipated and we're not going to just, blow the banks out and cause an environmental problem there. But the schools, we've met with the school board, and we're doing everything we can, as Chip said, to coordinate our construction schedule to make sure we're allowing access into the school there. and not disrupting them any more than we absolutely have to. Our preliminary construction cost estimate right now is $12.4 million. This obviously went up significantly with the inflation that we all experienced recently. We believe this cost estimate is accurate. I think there's a 15% contingency in it, if it might be more legible in your handouts. We are asking for 80% of that cost from the commission, and that is essentially approximately the cost of the project outside the city of Hope. I think there's 70% of it, it seems, is the cost. Is that about right? Or what is north of 37th Avenue, roughly? So that's what we're here tonight to talk to you about. We wanted to come in at this point and talk based on our discussions with Dan, because if the commission were to approve this, we realize this is a large project and we're going to have to talk about how it's funded. We talked about a couple of possible ways that could be done with Dan, but we're open to ideas. We're open to, you know, Hobart issuing bonds to fund this, and then just having a, you know, interlocal agreement with the commission to help us repay those bonds. And we already have the funds for the smaller project we had planned to do that we are going to put forward this. So are there any questions?
You had mentioned that you're talking with Lake Station and New Chicago.
Yep.
Is there a plan for them to, is this a straight pipe, or are there's offshoots for them to tie in?
We're planning to stub a pipe out in each direction at every structure.
Okay.
And we've asked them to review the plans and show us where they need structures, where they have problems, where they want to be able to get to in the future. And we're willing to add those and work with them however we can.
And with that said, is the pipe going to be large enough to carry extra volume of water if yes. they decide to tie in
yes.
as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been modeled to do that.
And when you were, you just talked about issuing bond, are you suggesting over time contribution? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Well, that's one of the options that we thought, that Dan and I have talked about, Bob as well, that would, as Dan explained, that would really deplete your ability to do other projects. And we understand that. We're here sort of hat in hand, hoping that we can build this regional project that will benefit Hobart and the commission, as well as New Chicago and Lake Station.
Have you spoken to the state about funding any of those, potentially?
Not sure which state.
The state of Indiana, you know, for possible funds for a project like that.
We look for grant funding sources and haven't found any, mm-hmm. but I don't know that we've had conversations with state senators and representatives yet.
Most of the grants that are available to this kind of aren't of large enough, you know, if we're talking about a $12 to $13 million project, and they're talking about grants up to $500.
Every little bit help.
Yeah.
Gentlemen?
So what are your plans if you don't provide funding for you?
You probably have to revert back to building the local project and just sending the water through the neighborhoods and into Deep River at 37th Avenue. I don't see any way Hobart can do this without your assistance.
In the previous monies that were contributed, did you guys spend time engineering that scenario?
No, we haven't.
But we would... All the funds expended on this design?
No, we're still in design, probably 70%.
So out of the 400,000, you have 100,000 left, about 120.
Roughly, yeah.
18.
Has Lake Station or New Chicago come forward with any possible funding on their own to coordinate?
They have not. They've made it clear they
don't have.
cannot participate.
So you're solely going to fund this with you, with your request for this.
Yes, that is our intent.
At this time, the study only shows relief for residences within Hobart right now?
Yes.
And on the slide here, it says 85 homes approximately.
Yeah, that's just.
The number than on your smaller scale project yet, or you turned your focus on this?
We turned our focus onto this. Our last cost estimate was, I believe, $2.5 million for the neighborhood project. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the budget might have been, three in that $2.5 to $3 million range.
That was long before the price increases.
So. Sure, yes. So that was before the price jump in pipe and everything.
I don't think that's looking to account to the downstream. You have a Stinky Creek as a
true. Yeah, there were no channel improvements past Wisconsin Street in that.
Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll pick out an advisement and let you know.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, let's move on to the new business.
Mr. Vice Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the Town of Dyer two-stage panel for hard-edge watershed application for engineering only in the amount of $34,150, pending review by Executive Director, Chairman, and Legal, and final execution of the interlocal agreement.
We have a motion and a second.
Second.
A second. Any conversation? This was on last month's agenda, and we talked about this a little bit, but if we got any more questions, go ahead and
continue. I was asking, it was the rebate to give us a snapshot of what this was about.
There you go.
The Dyer's already done a two-stage ditch. They actually received an award, I guess, recently for the two-stage ditch by the hospital. They want to see if by doing a two-stage ditch from 30 to Main Street would generate any additional storage, slowing down of the water that eventually makes it a hard ditch. So that's what this is attempting to do. I think I have the correct geographic area that they're trying to do this in.
Good. All right, let's take a vote.
Tom Wyszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes. Excellent. Next item on the agenda.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve Lake County Parks, Three Rivers County Parks watershed application in the amount of $184,000. Pending review by the executive director, the chairman, and legal, and final execution of an interlocal.
That was set motion. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. Dan, you want to get to a
quick yeah, moment? This is when we purchased the property from the Gary School system. This was the part that was the old, it was an old Nike missile site. That they had somewhat made it in environmental center. This is just going to knock down those buildings, improve the paths, and fix the fence in that area that would complement our area, what we've already done with the rock ripple in that area, which is 29th and Wyoming-ish, next to Liverpool.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Next item. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the town chair of the Eagle Ridge Culvert Replacement Water Staff Academy in the amount of $222,500, pending review by legal, by executive director, chairman, and legal, and final execution of an interlocal agreement.
Now we move to a second.
Second.
I have a second. Dan? Replacing the culvert on Eagle Ridge. I think the earlier engineer's estimate was $500,000. When they bid it out, it came in lower, so our amount was lowered. They're requesting 50% of that replacement.
Lambert?
Tom Ruslinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Vice Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the City of Crown Point's 113th Avenue Culvert Replacement Watershed application to the amount of $357,000 pending review by Executive Director, Chairman, Legal, Final Execution of the County Local Agreement.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Dan?
Once again, 50% match. It's on a regulated drain. They bid it out. It also came back less than what the engineer's estimate was, so that's good news for you, Phil. Maybe that $12 million will come down a little bit. They also were getting money from, I believe, the county as well, from the drainage board. So,
Lambert?
Tom Ruslinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
And then the last, or the next item on the agenda, statement to the floor. Anybody got yes, ma'am. State your name.
Sandy O'Brien, I am familiar with the area that we worked on for Safety Street project, get the water to burn faster. And I was wondering if it could be done with some environmental care, because it is nice, potentially nice natural area. There is a rural school area. And there before, so I know it's always kind of limited natural area, and I'm saying no kids. And it would be nice if there was some, like, not messing up as much as any more than necessary, and try to restore it back to nature and make species and keep the pragmite over all the other invasive. Area. We need the suburban area, you really need a smoke problem. And I know for managing the forest, that's very mighty along the ditches, is a problem. My sense that it'd be nice to manage the very mighty in this area, very grass, so that we take the natural area that gets further.
Anyone else? Sure. Go down the list here. Director Brown.
Just wanted to thank the town of Maryville for hosting our little roadshow here this evening. And thanks to both the presentations, pretty informative. Thanks for your efforts.
Lamont?
Same thing that Ron said. Thank you to the Maryville team for hosting everybody that tuned in as well, everybody that came out. And the presentations. The standard and the quality of our watershed application. I think this helped to kind of drive a point home. We don't have to spend as much time in the application. So it's very helpful for all of us. And then the presenters, you know, guest is doing this better, thorough, explanation for us. That's what it makes our our life a lot easier. So thank you for that. Just want to encourage everybody to continue to stay involved. Sandy O'Brien said, from an environmental standpoint, it's very important. We have some things that we have to continue to stay on top of from an environmental standpoint. So it's always good to have an advocate in that regard to be a part of our efforts. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Castellano.
I just wanted to add that thank you for the town of Maryville for allowing us to be in their town hall, and looking forward to working with them again in the future. And also on the presentation of all the compliments, all the individuals on their excellent presentation. Also, I wanted to make a note that this was a long time coming. I want to compliment the Westler Engineering for their Caddy Marsh Ditch Water Study. That was a study that's been a long time coming, and is a very good, excellent report. And I hope that we can look at it more and see what more we can do. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gosnecki, I'd like to thank the town of Maryville for letting us use their facility and both presenters tonight. Appreciate the efforts and thought that goes into it. I'm sure it's not easy to complete and compile all that documentation. That's very well thought out. And I appreciate that. Thank you for those in attendance.
So, Mr. Dimmitt?
I have nothing to add. Thank you.
And Mr. Ochi?
I have nothing to add. All is going to say.
Thanks. And I'll just reiterate thank you, Mr. Lake, for the hospitality and hosting this tonight. And we plan on taking the show on the road most of the summer, we hope, that everything works out. And I would thank all the presenters tonight because we make our job a little bit easier. We had to fish for a lot of information. You guys are really, everybody stepped up their game. The next meeting will be June 21st. And we're to be determined as the location, but I believe we're going to be on the road somewhere. So we'll let everybody know and monitor our website as we word location. Next thing on the agenda is we have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
I have a motion. Second. Did I roll call vote for that?
Tom Roshinsky?
Yes.
Tom Gosdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
Okay. See everybody next month.